All right, welcome back to Alphabet Scoop. It's been a couple weeks. We were out last week because Abner was in Hawaii. How was that?
It was hot. It was humid. It was windy.
How was
I want one of these conferences to be on a boat to Alaska one of these days. I would enjoy that so much. Non-sarcastic, by the way.
I could see that. So you want the conference actually on the boat, not in Alaska. Like, you don't want to take a boat to Alaska and then have the conference.
Either way, I like the cold. I'm odd for loving the cold.
I think it's fair to say that that's an unpopular opinion, to be unhappy with a trip to Hawaii. A bribe to Hawaii, I should say.
Yes, your choice tweets about that matter.
Yes. So yeah, other than that, how are things going? What's new?
Oh, it's December. We're well into the holiday season and everyone's shutting down. Everybody is getting everything out, the last bits of news.
Yeah, and this last week was kind of crazy for us. Actually, I'll just say this publicly because we don't really hide this, but this past 2 weeks before this week was our biggest 2 weeks on record. So it trumped, you know, forgive me saying trumped, but, you know, it trumped our week of October 9th this year. It trumped last year's Google event. It trumped like, you know, Google's or CES or Google I.O. We never had a weeks that were as good as this past 2 weeks. And that was primarily because of two reports that we had, or I guess I had, about two much beloved, or not so much in either case, maybe. I don't know.
One case only.
Question mark. And even in that case, I'm not sure if it really people are in love with Hangouts anymore. But yeah, two apps, Hangouts and Allo, which we had two separate reports. And basically, the long story short is they're both shutting down. So bye. I loved Ron Amadeo. Over at Ars Technica, his headline on the matter was, Google simplifies its messaging strategy, comma, will support 5 messaging apps instead of 7. it was the best headline that came out of this news cycle. By the way, Ron, if you are on this or you, I don't know, hear this, we should definitely have you on the show. It would be a lot of fun. But yeah, so we reported that Hangouts is shutting down. I guess we could start with Hangouts. And Hangouts was the hottest story. Actually, it might have been our hottest story ever, just because of the sheer mix of controversy, just the fact that it's such a big, popular product that's still being used by tens of millions of people.
Especially Google employees. That's how they still communicate.
Not to mention, yes, yeah, absolutely. Thing. Internally, it's a big deal. But also, I mean, this story, just like all of our other stories, it pops up on Google News. Google News is a huge, huge traffic driver for us and many other sites. And we're a Google site popping up on Google News for people who are using an Android phone, are likely Hangouts users. And so, you know, it was basically a perfect storm. And then that combined with the fact that Google's public response was not exactly toned down. It was the opposite of toned down. It was very very harsh and abrupt and outward, I guess you could say. So I guess where do we start with that? It basically, my report said that we've heard from a source that Google is planning to shut down Hangouts sometime in 2020, which is, like, I don't know, not surprising in one sense.
Not at all. I did not expect this controversy.
Yeah, I didn't either. Google Hangouts has not had any significant updates or features as an app since, I don't know what, it's been like a year, maybe? About a bug fix a month has basically been the release schedule for Hangouts for about a year now. And meanwhile, obviously, Google's constantly working and updating all of its other apps, you know, Allo and Duo. Well, I guess Allo is a different case, but Duo and, you know, all of Google's whole suite of apps tend to get weekly, bi-weekly, monthly updates that add significant functionality and features. And so, you know, it says something when an app is basically gone quiet in terms of development. And so, yeah, so I guess one thing to clarify on this is that the big controversy was what we had to differentiate between what is hangouts and what is not hangouts. And by not hangouts, I mean Hangouts Meet and Hangouts Chat, which are two separate, completely separate apps that I think, to be very, very clear, are not hangouts. So yeah, I think a lot of people misconstrued my report. My report was very clear at the very beginning that we were talking about the legacy hangouts that you would have known and loved or whatever used for the last 5+ years. How long has Hangouts been around? I don't even know.
2012 or 2013. Well,
I'm right on say, like 6 years.
Yeah.
So a lot of people took this to mean, you know, Hangouts. I guess for some reason, some people thought I was lumping in Hangouts and Hangout or Hangouts Chat and Meet with that, even though I explicitly said in my report that those two apps were going to live on.
And the interesting thing with that is the people who lumped it together. The majority of people don't care about Hangouts Meet or Hangouts Chat. They don't use it. They really don't use it. They really have no interaction with it. And only enterprise customers would be affected in any sense.
Yeah. So the series of events was, my report said legacy Hangouts is going away sometime in 2020. Tons of reports came out with the headline, Hangouts is shutting down. Google, and specifically one Google exec, got very, very upset about all these headlines saying Hangouts is shutting down when, to him, it rightfully so, those headlines aren't very, they're not very flattering for products that also share the Hangouts name that are absolutely not shutting down. And so basically he called me out for only having half the story, which I admittedly only had half the story in a sense. In some sense, I only had half the story because I didn't know about what he came out and described, which was this migration of data from old Hangouts to Hangouts Chat. That's something I wasn't aware of. And so I guess if you want to call that half the story, then yes, I didn't know that part. But immediately, hilariously, after calling my report, quote, shoddy, he confirmed that, yes, while Hangouts is shutting down, he literally followed that tweet with a tweet admitting that this was, he called it himself, a, quote, leak. He confirmed it was a leak. He confirmed that this is actually happening. He confirmed that Hangouts, as we know it, is shutting down. And he also came up with a new name for it. What was that name? Hangouts Classic. That's a new moniker that Google has never used publicly until they wanted to come out and very clearly separate my report from the ongoing and continuing to live on Hangouts products that are not Hangouts Classic. So yeah, that's the story with Hangouts. Is there, what else is there to say on that? I mean, it's shutting down. Google itself came out and did a blog post about it.
So what's really surprising to me out of all this is the idea that Hangouts Chat and Hangouts Meet will be available for regular consumers going forward. That, to me, that adds so much more confusion to the messaging strategy of just use RCS, just use Google Duo, and if you need it, use Google Voice. So they're throwing out this entirely different service to appease people who like Hangouts, maybe have the same contacts, who are comfortable with it. But in the grand scheme of things, they should have just kept it to enterprise customers, and they would have had a much clearer vision.
Yeah, it is confusing. I mean, this is another thing that Ron pointed out. He said that Google in their blog post about this whole mess. Well, I think first of all, I have to say that Google after this whole Hangouts mess, Google had their public response. Well, I don't know if I want to say it's Google because it is Google because it's a Google executive, but it was not a. You know, it wasn't an official Google spokesperson statement or anything. This was just a Google executive ranting on Twitter. But after my report and then after the Allo report, they came out with a blog post on the keyword, basically explaining the whole situation and admitted that, yes, Allo and Hangouts are going away. But they kind of framed it in an interesting way. And one thing that Ron pointed out was they said that they were doubling down or focusing, I guess, on Duo and Android messages, what we now call messages, just messages, for consumers. And then in the same blog post said, we are also going to be opening up Hangouts Meet and Hangouts Chat to consumers. And so that sends a confusing message to consumers who are like, I just want to know what app I'm supposed to use. And the answer Google is giving them is maybe both. And so that's, it's confusing. But also, I will push back on this a little bit. I can see where Google's coming from in a sense, because you know, all of Google's other G Suite products are not enterprise only. Most of them are not enterprise only. I mean, Gmail technically is a G Suite product, and it is a consumer product.
Sure. Uh-huh.
And just like every other, you know, Google Docs, that is a G Suite product in Google Drive, but they are also consumer products, and they have and can be used by consumers. And so I think, and maybe you disagree with this, but I think the better way to differentiate between these two is the way Justin Uberti, who you may know as the lead of Google Duo, the way he characterized the difference is not as much consumer versus enterprise, but rather teams versus friends. And which both of those categories may apply to both consumers and enterprises.
Yeah, that's the point I want to hit. Hangouts Chat is clearly a product for Teams. The direction that Google is pushing is not a one-to-one communication messenger. Right. And what regular people expect are group chats, the group conversations. They don't need bots. They don't need these third-party integrations to bring me up Google Calendar to schedule conference meetings in conference rooms in your office. They don't need any of these features. They are pushing. I'm sure the plan was always to bring over users. They couldn't have just killed Hangouts without offering classic Hangouts without offering a solution. But the solution they are giving to the customers that still want a web-based messaging solution isn't good. It isn't optimized for them. And I'm of the opinion that, and many others think that Google needs a web-based messaging system that's independent of phone numbers that works for the rest of the world better. And what you're getting with Hangouts Chat is, yes, it does send messages to direct messages to individual people. But at the same time, it's attaching this honking large other feature, this team communication with clearly enterprise features.
Yeah, I think we'll see that evolve over the next year as Google apparently will be building out Hangouts Chat to be a more feature parity or make more sense as a migration from traditional Hangouts. Mm-hmm. I think also Google has said publicly at this point that Hangouts Chat will be what replaces the Hangouts chat box in Gmail. And so if that gives you an idea of kind of what the direction is they're going with Hangouts chat, it seems like their idea with this was to take the core functionality of Hangouts, break it up into two different apps, and take the chat aspect and move it to Hangouts chat but also, you know, I think they wanted to make it primarily a selling or like a they want to make it primarily, I guess, interesting to enterprises first. And then they're going to walk back and make it open to consumers. And by doing that, they're basically, you know, allowing consumers to continue using classic Hangouts for as long as they want, basically. I mean, it seems like that's shutting down in a year or two, but it seems like, you know, chat is going to be better. It's going to be an actually better user-facing consumer online. What you're describing, it will be a better version of what Hangouts currently is. It just isn't as of right now.
I have to disagree with that as well, because the future of Hangouts chat is Slack. They want it to be a Slack competitor in every sense of the word. Google as a company, G Suite as a company, is scared, frightened that Slack is winning, that the enterprise communication space is being dominated by one company and all the implications that comes with.
Sure.
So
I think it's both and. I don't think it's kind of an either or situation. I think that Google kind of realized, or they're trying to do two things at once here, which is not good news for the vision of the product. But it seems like to me that they are trying to, it seems like chat from the beginning was positioned as this is a Slack competitor. And, you know, Slack is the quote unquote email killer. And who's the biggest consumer email provider on the web? And one of the biggest providers of enterprise email on the web. So it's like, that's obviously a threat. But I think they also realized, we have tons of these consumer Hangouts users, which in reality, let's be honest, the majority of those people, they want the real upgrade path. People who are using Hangouts today as a consumer-facing chat application, they want that upgrade path to be Android messages. But they also want to provide an option for people that, for some reason, that like you're describing, are looking for something that's not based on their phone number. And it seems like tacking on this migration is to what is primarily a Slack competitor seems to be where they've landed. We've actually heard, I've been told that a lot of the Hangouts chat, or at least some of the Hangouts chat team, was not aware of this at all until the tweets came out from Scott himself. And given that, you know, it's that kind of supports this idea that there might have been lots of, you know, people who are planning to build out on the chat team, planning to build out lots of Slack competing features over the next year, and they might have had the rug pulled out from under them with Scott's kind of rebuttal to my report. At least that's how I'm reading the situation. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with that assessment of what's ended up happening. Like, again, this is me based on this. It's a speculation on my part, but I don't know how big the focus on one-to-one messaging was for Hangouts chat. If we didn't make this news, or if, exactly, let's say Google were to announce it next year instead of being forced to much sooner.
Right. Yeah, for sure. Because they couldn't come out, like they literally were not able to come out and say, no, Hangouts is not shutting down. Because it is, legacy traditional Hangouts Classic is, and not only is it, but if Google, I think Scott kind of maybe didn't do Google a favor in this case, because Scott came out and said, while Hangouts is shutting down, and that confirmed that Hangouts is shutting down. Whereas if Google PR had handled the situation, they could have kind of done like a sidestep, you know, just left it. They could have just left it at, you know, like they usually do with these kinds of reports, and said, we don't have any current plans or something. You know, they could have left it at something vague and just left it at that. And after Scott's tweets, they weren't able to do that anymore because Scott blew the cover, basically.
If this new cycle of Hangouts didn't happen, I strongly believe that what would have happened is that these products would have continued onwards, and Hangouts would have continued for several more years. And then what we would have had ended up with was a Google Voice situation where, within that 5-year absence of nothing happening, Google refound the vigor. They decided to revamp it again and make it an actual consumer product. I think that would have eventually happened if Hangouts was just about to keep continuing with the same amount of users using it with the same amount of feature set. I don't know, in 2 or 3 years, we'd have seen a revival.
I think there's an interesting problem here. And then that's, a lot of people want to know what the direction is Google's taking with this. And, you know, they don't feel like they can make a decision on what to commit to unless they know what direction Google's going. And I think that in Google's ideal world, I think what they would have preferred was consumers / people who are communicating as friends on Hangouts. I think Google would have wished that over the next 12 to 24 months, they would just slowly move over to Android messages. kind of how, you know, they initially said, you know, Aloe is the new hotness, and we're, they push people over to Aloe. And so a lot of people at this point, especially in our kind of diehard community, in this category of people who are using Hangouts as a friend-to-friend communication platform, had already left for Aloe, or for, you know, or realized that Hangouts was stagnating or whatever, and left for whatever reason. And so I think Google's ideal situation would have been those people just continuing to realize that Hangouts was being abandoned essentially over time, and just slowly started to adopt Android Messages for that consumer use case of communicating with friends and family. And then at the same time, those enterprise users, I think Google in their ideal world would have, over the next 24 months, as Hangouts continued to stagnate and just completely did not have any development at all, those people who are using it for business purposes, for the video calls and for business meetings and for communicating with coworkers on the other side of the world over their Google accounts, et cetera, et cetera. I think in their ideal world, over the next 2 years or year, Google Hangouts Chat would have seen significant developments to make it a more compelling alternative to Slack or to whatever. And it would have just been a natural upgrade path for a lot of enterprise users to go from Hangouts to Hangouts, basically. And then Meet also, I think, is in some ways, there are some feature benefits to Meet compared to traditional Hangouts. And so, yeah, I think that's what Google would have preferred. But in the meantime, there's lots of people that want to know just what the heck is going on. And so they, you know, they kind of just have to say, this is our, this is what we're focusing on, Duo and Messages for friends, and Hangouts Chat and Hangouts Meet. And we're kind of like, yeah, the, you know, Google's official statement on the matter is, we're committed to supporting those who want to keep using Hangouts until,
fully transition them.
So we fully transitioned everyone to feature parity on Hangouts Chat, which is a fair compromise. But I think Google would have preferred for it to have just happened,
yes,
naturally, rather than having to address two different app shutdown dramas at the same time.
We haven't even talked about Aloe.
I know, the second app shutdown scoop that we had. So that came less than a week, or maybe about a week later, because we had heard that on some level, Google Aloe was going to be announced. I was getting mixed messages from multiple people. Some people were saying Aloe was supposed to be announced to have it shut down like a month ago, or 2 months ago or something. Other people were saying it's imminent. Other people were saying it's coming later. Other people were saying, you know, it was going to be then, now it's going to be this time, whatever. And so my take from the whole situation, my deduction was that maybe our report about Hangouts and the ridiculous drama that stirred up, maybe pushed back, I said in my report, perhaps, because perhaps is the truth, pushed back the announcement of Aloe's shutdown. And yeah, so immediately, immediately after I reported that, Google started drafting up its big, I'm assuming it started drafting up and wanted to rush out its big keyword blog post that explained the whole situation. If nothing else, I just have to say this before we dive into Aloe a little bit more, is I'm really glad that, if nothing else, these two reports forced Google's hand to come out and communicate. I'm really proud of that. It caused a lot of drama, but at the end of the day, Google has been very negligent, I think, in communicating with people on what's going on with messaging and what people should be convincing their friends. I saw one Reddit commenter saying after my report that Aloe was shutting down, that, oh great, I just convinced my mom to start using Aloe or something, like in December 2018, which I found that hilarious. But yeah, I'm really glad that Google finally came out and communicated. But yeah, Aloe's gone. It was gone. It was no surprise at all, because Google had already confirmed that it was. What was the official wording on that?
We're not investing.
Oh yeah, pausing investment.
Yes.
It's good PR. So Google announced that they are pausing investment several months ago. And right after that, Amit Phule, Google's Aloe lead, left for Facebook. And Aloe immediately got its last update, or its second to last update now. For what, 9 months was it? Something like that. Yep. And then, now it's gone. Google officially announced that it will be shutting down in March 2019. And gave Allo one final update to notify people of that fact. So
yes. So
that's messaging. Anything else on messaging that we need to chat about?
Not really. It's full steam ahead on messages. That's where we're going to see the most investment.
Yeah, and I will add too that I think there's a misconception that Allo was just kind of wasted effort, and then it just went, you know, it was all pointless and just another Google wave or whatever. But I think, yeah, as with anything that Google does, excuse me, there's lots of stuff that gets built that will be just directly ported over other products, and it's work that gets used. And so also, I'm very glad for all the people who had Google Allo on their resume now get to put messages on it instead. There's lots of little implications like this here. I'm sure there were a lot of Googlers that were just not happy to have Allo team on their resume. Happy for that.
That is messaging.
That is messaging.
So the rest of the show is a bit of a grab bag. I'm actually interested in how the Pixel Slate has been going for you.
Yeah, I already did my review. Did we have a chance? Do we have a show since the review?
We did.
Was that last week? I forgot.
We had a show since.
Okay. Yeah, so I've talked about it a lot already. I think my biggest takeaway, now that I've had a few weeks or a couple weeks with it, one big thing that I just didn't realize I would love so much. I just love the keyboard so much. I hate the ergonomics of it. It's the worst designed convertible tablet keyboard ever when it comes to actually using it on your lap or trying to use it on the go. But when you're typing on this thing on a flat surface, like I guess you are most of the time, I am most of the time, I don't know. It feels so good. I love it. And it's just like, it's everything great about the Pixelbook keyboard, but better. I prefer rounded keys and I think I'm more accurate on them. And, I just love how it feels to type on this thing. It just feels like typing on butter.
On butter.
I'm always like trying to find whatever, and like as someone who types all day, it's like, I want to find the interfaces that can make my thoughts go into text form as seamlessly and painlessly as possible, whether that be really good voice recognition or just a really good keyboard, or I'm hoping someday some kind of attachment I can put on my head to just immediately convert my thoughts into text. But yeah, I think in terms of all the keyboards that I use on a daily basis, Pixel Slate keyboard is my big winner.
Yeah, that's very promising for future Pixelbooks and how they apply it.
So yeah. That's another thing is typing on the. So when you're using Pixel Slate as a tablet, typing on it is miserable because Gboard is not Gboard. It's not yet Gboard, real Gboard. And it's obviously just not as good. But the voice recognition or the text to speech is really, or the speech to text, sorry. Is really good on Pixel Slate, for a couple reasons. Obviously, Google's text or speech to text, whatever, I don't know what to call it.
Speech to text.
Yeah, it's really good in general. I think Google is the best at this. But I think the two far field microphones on the top really help the Pixel Slate in terms of picking up what you're saying clearly. So when I'm using the Pixel Slate in tablet mode, I don't use the keyboard at all. I just tap the little speech to text button, and it can, honestly, I tried writing a blog post that way and it does a half decent job, honestly. So I found that out, and I enjoy that a lot. I don't know what else to talk about. Do you have any questions about my experience with it? Anything you wonder, or anyone watching the show wonders? We'll give a few minutes. Anyone has
back
any?
To the, so is it the content consumption or productivity? In your personal usage as a writer?
Neither, I guess. I mean, it's weird. It's kind of bad at both in a way. I mean, in different ways. It's bad at both in different ways. The tablet experience is just not great. You know, using it as a Chrome browser primarily, which is what Chrome OS does best and what it was built to do. The web is just not super touch friendly. And so using it in a content consumption device in terms of using it to consume reading on the web or browsing the web is just not that great. And it could be better. I think Chrome has a little bit of ways to go before it's better at responsiveness in terms of interacting with the web and also just the tap targets in the browser itself. I think that's one thing that Safari nailed really early on with the iPad is that browsing the web with your fingers feels like you're dragging around paper. Like it feels like you're touching the web, and it just, you don't get that sense of tactility or that sense of control with Chrome OS on tablets quite yet. I don't know. I think for me, I primarily use it as content creation, but I'm uniquely positioned as someone who can do that. You know, not everyone can use a Chrome browser as their productivity device. I can because I blog. So that plus, you know, just the fact that I can, plus the keyboard, loving the keyboard so much, means that for the last 2 weeks, I've reached for the Pixel Slate instinctively over using my MacBook.
That's nice.
Yeah. So I like it. I like it a lot. It's a flawed product, and I think that's mostly just because of the software. The software and then the ergonomics of the keyboard.
Yeah.
Those are my complaints. I'm excited to get the Celeron model and see, or I think Sean's going to get the Celeron model and he's going to check it out and see how that does in terms of performance and stuff. It's bizarre to me that Google has not been willing to send those out, although maybe it shouldn't surprise me because maybe it's miserable. So that's really all I have on Pixel Slate. Oh, sorry. Excuse me. I've been drinking LaCroix, so I'm burping a lot.
So on the Made by Google front, we haven't talked about the December security patch for the Pixel 3 and the other devices yet, but has it fixed any issues with RAM management and camera performance for you?
It fixed the issue of music stopping when you try to take a picture. That specific issue is gone. I haven't really noticed much difference in terms of.
Yeah,
and Sean's initial tests too didn't show much difference in terms of
general
how many apps are staying in memory, how quickly they're loading. It doesn't seem that much different. I'll throw this in here on this podcast because I'm hoping that it won't get like picked up if I talk about it here. But we got a tip from an anonymous tipster who we can't say how strongly we trust, but they suggested that the issue with the RAM on the Pixel 3 is actually some kind of hardware flaw, and that the Pixel 3 with its 4 gigs of RAM should really definitely be able to hold more apps in memory than it can, but there's some kind of hardware related issue. That would be not good news if it were true and it got out at all. Like that would be a bombshell. So I really hope that doesn't get like spread as a rumor, because that's definitely what it is. It's definitely a rumor. It's the most rumor of rumors I've probably ever shared on this podcast, and probably the most dangerous, because that would be bad news if that was a hardware problem, because Google wouldn't be able to do anything about it. And it would not be a good look in terms of PR. They've had enough problems with hardware issues over the last couple of years. But if that's true, it's a bummer, and it means we shouldn't expect many fixes in terms of making this 4 gig RAM phone perform as well as other 4 gig RAM phones in terms of how many apps it can keep.
Software can do wonders, though. So
true. And also that anonymous
hipster
could be completely wrong. So full disclaimer. But for those who want to know about the inside baseball and those little things that we don't typically write about or report, now you know.
Yep.
What else is on the agenda today?
A bit of a grab bag on the Chrome front. This is, this is Google news in the basic sense that Chromium is Google's thing, and Microsoft announced that it's switching its the browser rendering engine to Chromium. So people who use Windows, people who use the completely default experience of Windows and the Edge browser should start getting a better experience on the web, since the ball tooth of the web development right now is that many websites target their websites for the Chromium engine and Chrome, since that's where all the users are. It would be, I'm sure for Google, they'll be very glad that when they make services and they launch web apps the first time, that they can say that it's supported by a browser other than Chrome. So I think for them, that's going to be a good look. And of course, Chromium as a rendering engine, as a community, will improve from Microsoft's contributions.
Yeah, it's a good and a bad thing, I think, if you look at the bigger picture. I mean, the good thing is that Chromium is really good, and
as an open member of the open source community, is more committed than IE6 at its peak.
True, and on top of that, it means web standards. It means as things like, I don't know, even something as simple as a new CSS rule or something gets adopted or pushed through. It means developers have one less, I guess, browser to worry about. But that won't really be true for web developers for 5 years, because they're gonna have to keep supporting Edge without Chromium for years to come. But Unity in terms of adopting standards is a good thing, objectively. But at the same time, lack of competition is not a good thing, as we saw with Internet Explorer's monopoly before Firefox and Chromium came along. It's so easy to see the tangible effects that Chrome had whenever it started to really take market share from Microsoft. I mean, we got Edge out of that competition, which Edge is leaps and bounds better than Internet Explorer was. And so competition is a good thing. And so in that sense, it's not good to see that, basically if the worst case scenario happens, we might have another Internet Explorer problem on our hands in the coming years. But it is what it is. It means there's lots of little benefits for users. I mean, it means installing Chrome extensions on Internet Explorer, or Edge, I should say, which is a win for users. I'm not really well versed in this subject, and so I'm not really positioned to be a pundit on this.
At a high level, we got everything. So other news that happened this week was, Waymo 1 is launching. It's out of beta, I guess I'll call it. It's such a weird thing to think as of large physical objects as being able to have a beta period. As you pointed out, Arizona is not that far from Vegas, so that would have been a cool thing.
Yeah,
to see if the CS folk get to use.
Yeah, this has been the dream for a long time. We've been seeing these self-driving car developments come over time. And I think one of the things that we've hoped for is to see like self-driving car transportation at Google I/O or something. And
Google I/O would be the dream.
Yeah. And like, this is the year we're going to have some kind of crazy, like they're going to have self-driving car transportation from the hotels to.
They can't officially test in Mountain View now. So who knows? This is a bit of a tangent, but with self-driving cars, I want to buy a self-driving car. I want to own one rather than. I've never had interest in cars whatsoever, but I like the idea of after using Lyft and Uber, I like the idea of taking ownership of the physical space I'm in day to day. So if Google makes like the original Google car, the Firefly prototype, was very cute. And maybe that wouldn't have been that expensive if they actually sold it. But I'd be interested in buying a self-driving car and taking more trips and being able to work in the car.
Yeah, that's always the thing. Whenever you're working a job like this that doesn't ever shut off, is you're looking for ways to automate your transportation or whatever so that you can have more time to blog.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've always thought about that, you know, like traveling around the country on train, via train, so that you can just travel and work at the same time.
Oh my.
That's always been an option. I've never done it, but it's an option. But yeah, self-driving cars would also be an option.
Oh.
It's always been an interesting angle to think about Google's self-driving car ambitions from. You know, everything that Google does, you can always think about what the implications it might have on its ad business. And if you think about the number of hours that people spend in the day in a car, on average, it's like, you know, about a tenth of their day is spent in some kind of transportation. And so if that's like a solid 10% of time that people are not seeing Google ads that they could
be. That's a good way to think about it.
You know, if everyone was riding in self-driving cars for their commute every day, that's 10% of their day that they could be sitting on their laptops browsing whatever and seeing ads.
Can you imagine if the back of car seats become the back of airplane seats, and you have this tablet that shows you movies, and then you pay and you watch an ad? That's something there.
The joy of the open road is dead.
Oh yeah, the open road is dead.
It's gone.
But yeah, Waymo One is the kind of a thing.
Yeah, it was kind of a, I don't know. This whole announcement was kind of
Waymo. How about that? Waymo.
This whole announcement was kind of meh for me. I mean, I think that the way it was hyped, it seemed like this was Waymo's so far ahead of the competition, and they're going to launch their own, you know, truly self-driving car ride hailing service. And then this whole thing is literally just like
one community.
It's basically what Uber's already doing or was doing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, maybe I'm mistaken on that, but it seems like it's just like so much less exciting for it to be just a self-driving. It's basically you're paying to ride along with the self-driving car safety drivers, basically.
For the moment, but yeah, I agree.
Like that's really what it is. The safety drivers have been on the road for a long time now. Mm-hmm. You're just paying for the opportunity to sit in the back seat with them. That's all it is. That's really all it is. Can you tell me I'm wrong?
No, I cannot. And I have to tell you that after 5 minutes in like a vaguely autonomous vehicle, the joy is done.
Oh, like, yeah.
You get 5 minutes of futurism, and that's it.
Take advantage of it in 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Take it for granted, I mean. Not take advantage of it. Yeah, any other news? We had Google Fit copying Breathe on the Apple Watch.
Yes.
A couple of days ago.
Google Fit hasn't seen an update since the whole rebrand thing, which is not very...
Google Coach.
Google Coach. Yeah. I guess they probably want to still keep it as an exclusive feature for the Pixel Watch.
I don't know. Maybe.
That'd be interesting to see.
Yeah. We'll see.
Google Plus. I guess we should have talked about this earlier in the show.
Talk about some politics.
Oh, yes. Politics.
Ties in with stuff that happened yesterday.
Well, so let's start the Google Plus. The day before Sundar Pichai's congressional testimony, Google announced that they found another privacy bug that could have leaked private contact information to third-party developers. Google says that this did not happen, that no third-party developers were aware of this and took advantage of it. But as a result, they are moving down the shutdown date by 3 or 4 months, and that Google Plus will be gone by April, I believe. I might be wrong on that.
Yeah.
I think, like, hello, nobody's going to miss it.
Yeah. By the time the actual shutdown date comes, I'm pretty sure both of those services will be ghost towns.
Ghost towns.
I'm so surprised. On my Google Plus, seeing so many people who are still posting significant posts, like there are people who are posting long form posts on Google Plus about how Google Plus is shutting down.
Yeah.
And I don't get it. It doesn't make sense to me.
So there's a broader question. I guess there's the broader question of do we need feed style social networks in the future, or is this generation so attuned to Snapchat style stories, which are basically siloed and not public in the traditional sense of your friends of friends can find you? I think it'll be interesting to see where this generation shift is going.
Yeah. What do you think is the end game? If we move from like traditional post-based archived, shared social media to these basically like stories that are kind of like, more ephemeral and more live and more or less curated, right? What's the next? Is the next like what's the end game? Is the end game everyone has a camera on their glasses and everyone can just stream anyone else's life as long as they're on your friends list?
It's the episode that is the book The Circle and the last good movie.
How did that end? Did that end poorly or did it end well? I haven't read it.
The dystopian people win. Let's just put it that way.
Okay.
Yeah, that movie was not good, but I don't want to go down the tangent of that book, which is fine. But
yeah.
Yeah, so social networks. I guess the way that technology is moving will be able to support that live streaming 24/7. So I don't think that... We're on YouTube right now. We're live streaming, but
yeah, live streaming. Hey Abner, I have news for you.
Yes,
live streaming is technologically feasible.
Yes, it is feasible. Is it 24/7 feasible? Clogging up our networks feasible?
Or? Yeah, I think this is an interesting topic, and this kind of goes into something else. So it's not on our list, but it's been hot topic lately, and that's 5G. And you had a little bit of time on with.
Yes, 5G.
5G at Qualcomm's thing in Hawaii. If you think about the implications of 5G, and like I'm talking like the 5 years from now 5G, where it's like 10, ubiquitous.
Honestly, 10. But yeah.
That is fascinating to think about. If the throughput of networks are almost completely uncapped, in terms of how much data can be transferred and how fastly it can be transferred, that opens up in a whole like tons of doors in terms of crazy like futuristic possibilities. I mean, imagine your phone having zero solid state storage. That would be technologically feasible if 5G were ubiquitous, because you could stream every single interaction at speeds and throughput that 5G would be capable of. You could stream every single thing that your phone can do, basically. Which is an entire operating system in the cloud on every phone. That would be theoretically
actual Chrome OS, not these.
Right.
Okay. Actually, maybe you can answer this to me. Okay, so that's always been the dream, right, of a cloud-based operating system. But as technology gets cheap enough, it doesn't matter. It's no longer a limitation to just have like a terabyte of storage be like $5.
I'm not saying that this is the direction I think things will go necessarily. I'm just saying it's crazy to think about what would be theoretically possible with no cap on how much data can be transferred. I mean, even something like, every single animation that your phone generates in this future, every single tap, every single little thing could technically be streamed in live time, with theoretically no lag. which, you know, if what's exciting to me about that is if everything on your phone is entirely streamed, then the computing power of your phone is no longer limited by the processor on your phone.
Or the form factor.
You are now opened up to, in a handheld device, you are now opened up to the unlimited computing power of an entire warehouse at your fingertips, which is, you know, already kind of true, but it would be more, more direct, I guess. You know, right now you have access to the cloud in the sense of, you know, you have apps that use the cloud, but you know, the experiences you're actually interacting with aren't direct connections to supercomputers. So it's hard to imagine what the implications of that would be, but it, you know, just somewhere to start. Another thing is like we talked about, like unlimited complete streaming of everything at 4K. Would that technically be feasible? 24/7 full resolution, you know, zero, like, I don't know, zero lag, you could stream every, like, or like one thing that's fascinating to think about with that is life logging devices. So if you have like a wearable camera or something, like with 5G wireless and the continually cheapening of you know, solid state storage, you could log every single thing that you see.
Yeah.
Every single possible interaction in your day-to-day life could all be stored within their own possibility.
And with night sight, you can capture the night, the darkness.
Yeah, you could combine these ideas with things that are currently available, for sure.
Honestly, that'd be useful to just have a recorded history.
Yeah, I think about it like, what's it called? Is it Nest Aware? Yeah, Nest Aware subscriptions. You could have a Life Aware subscription and have like literally like...
Oh my gosh.
You could have, you know, 5-day history of every single thing that you do.
Or pay for all of it.
Yeah.
Well, that's a crazy future.
So anyways, I think that wraps up the show now that we've
gone on
that crazy tangent.
Yeah.
Let me drop one little plug here as my laptop continues to die because I'm only using two USB ports and I need one for my headphones and one for my microphone. As we wrap this up, one little plug I have is this sweater that I'm wearing. This is our official, I guess officially you could say, 9-to-5 Google holiday sweater. This is what it looks like. It's, I think this one's $30. I think there's a code we can, if you really want one of these things, send me a DM and I'll get you a special coupon code to get a special discount on them. But yeah, we're selling these. This one's like $30. There's a t-shirt that's like 20. It all has the same design. It's basically, you know, an ugly holiday sweater. If you want one, just let me know. And you should check that out. We have a Teespring store. It's teespring.com/9to5Google, I believe. If not, you can head over to my Twitter and there's links there too. So yeah, buy a sweater. That'd be really cool. I think that at this point you have to buy the expedited shipping to get it in time for Christmas. So if that's what you're trying to do, if you have like a son or a daughter who's just like a crazy 9-to-5 Google fanatic.
And I'm sure that our team will happily sign it if you see them at CES.
Oh, yeah, wearing. Sure. Yeah. If you really want our autograph for him. Yeah, so that's the show. We'll see you again. Will we see you next week? Next week's a regular week. Until next week, you can tune into Alphabet Scoop here every week. We record this podcast every Wednesday afternoon and publish on Thursday mornings. And you can find us on all your favorite podcasting platforms such as iTunes and Apple Podcasts, Pocket Casts, Google Podcasts, Google Play, and you can also listen over at 9to5google.com. Thanks for tuning in as always, and thanks to Abner for joining me. This was a fun one.
Bye.
See you next week.